richtig ungewohnt hier. Voll offiziell fühlt sich das an.
Ja, voll, oder?
Wir sind jetzt
sehr nicht ungewöhnlich. Hier. Nicht einfach im Schlafzimmer vom Rechner.
Ja, und jetzt ist echt komisch, da sitze ich so voll da gegenüber.
Did you get that?
I'm so confused.
Also, ich verstehe nur Bahnhof.
You only understand train station? It's all Greek to me.
Understanding train station. Living between cultures with Josh and Feli.
Welcome back to a new episode of Understanding Train Station. I'm Feli.
Welcome back, everyone, and I'm Josh.
We're in a different setting yet again, because I feel like we've been saying that the last few episodes, because then you were home in Cincinnati,
yeah,
and then I was in Munich, and now we're still in Munich, or you're back in Munich again.
I was going to say, I mean, with the holidays, it's definitely a time of flux, so it's, I think you guys are used to that from us, too. Around the holidays or in the summer, everything changes.
Yeah, that's when we can finally record episodes in person again, which is actually, it's crazy that we've been recording episodes remotely for a year now.
Yeah.
It doesn't really feel like
that. It's really crazy to think about, especially like we were just saying, we're so used to being in such a relaxed mode.
Yeah.
Being in our own rooms, just with it in front of our camera. It's weird being together with real mics. I mean, we use real mics when we're normally recording too, but I don't know, just the whole setup. It's just, it's a little... Not unnerving, but different.
Yeah, like a studio light, the camera.
Yeah, so professional.
Yeah, and like actually seeing a person in real life.
Yeah, and we don't have to worry about the lag of a Zoom call messing us up. So I feel like hopefully you guys have the feeling that we don't speak over each other as much.
But... Yeah, no, I think that's definitely going to be the case. Yes. But yeah, I mean, the whole topic of time flying by is kind of going to be the topic of today's episode. Because we were sitting here, I think... pretty much exactly a year ago.
It's within a couple days, plus or minus 3 days.
It's definitely early January last year that we sat together here in this very same room and we talked about your move to Munich, because that's when you, like, after Christmas last year, you packed up your stuff.
Yeah.
You came to Munich, but that time, for the first time, it was to stay and not just for a shorter visit. And now it's been a year of you living in Munich.
Absolutely
permanently
insane.
And only going home for twice, right?
Three times.
I went home three times
this past year.
Yeah, to visit. So we figured that it would be a good time to kind of like look back to that whole year, which again, to me, feels like it was just a couple months.
It's crazy.
And kind of see how your life has changed.
Yeah.
In Munich, living in Germany, see if you've changed, if your opinions have changed. I prepared a few questions for you. But
before we jump in, I just was going to say, I like this topic for me because it gives me an opportunity. It kind of forces me to reflect on the past year, which I think with a new year, it's a good thing to do just in your daily life, is to take a break and just talk about or just reflect on what your goals are for the next year and what you've accomplished in the last year. So thank you for wanting to do this episode and forcing me to reflect on my life, because I think otherwise I probably wouldn't do it as intensely. So I'm excited, and I haven't seen any of the questions that you've prepared. So I'm excited to see what questions you have to ask and what my responses to them are, because I think it'll be a surprise for me too.
I don't have super concrete questions. I will say that. I just prepared like a few like interesting topics kind of. And let's start with the most boring one. But no, I feel like looking back, because we did the Josh in Germany part one episode when you first moved here. Then a few months ago, we did like a little update episode where we kind of responded to a bunch of the questions that people commented. And in both of those episodes, we talked a lot about bureaucracy.
Yes.
Because that's something that you had to deal with a lot in the beginning. Then later on, getting your driver's license, your Aufenthaltstitel, all that stuff. So my first question was just going to be, is there any bureaucracy updates?
I think it's actually really funny that you asked this question now, because on my drive over here, I was thinking about this, like, because I don't know, I feel like each time I come back to Germany after being in the US, my mindset is slightly different. I don't know if you've kind of experienced that as well when you go back to the US from after visiting Germany, but just like a slight change in the way that I view my life or the way that things feel in general. And I was thinking, just kind of internalizing, okay, why does this time feel different, or what's different about this time? And one of the thoughts that came to my mind was the lack of bureaucratic effort that I have right now. That is truly just me entering the country. I have my Aufenthaltstitel. I have my my driver's license. I have an apartment. I'm completely settled. And it just feels like I live here. So it's a huge relief. Like, I don't have this stress of this long checklist of things that I need to do, but rather I can just live my life, and it feels very natural to be back here.
That's nice.
I mean, I did have a little bit of bureaucratic effort at the end of last year that I was a little stressed about before I left the country, because I changed jobs, as I've mentioned in a previous episode. So like in that regard, I'm excited because I'm starting a new job and I had to change some things with my Aufenthaltstitel. But because all of that was done before I left for the US, I can come back here and feel completely relieved. Also, the process of just entering the European Union again was super simple. It was simple last time as well, but now I just feel like I've done it before with my Aufenthaltstitel and my passport. Aufenthaltstitel, in case you didn't know, is a residency permit. So literally, they don't ask any questions. You just hand them your...
Nothing?
I flew from Detroit to Paris, and the only question she asked me was, what was my name? I think she just didn't know how to pronounce my last name, so that was the main question that she asked. But other than that, it was like a very friendly conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't feel like I'm a European Union citizen.
I was going to ask you that.
Actually, it kind of does because I have a right to be here now.
Yeah. You're definitely a resident.
Yeah, I'm a resident. I mean, I'm not a citizen, so I'm a resident, but just not feeling like I had to prove anything. I had my documents and it just was, you're there.
So it doesn't feel like you're a visitor.
No, really. It doesn't feel like I'm a visitor. Yeah. It wasn't like this dynamic of, oh, please let me into your country. It was like, I have a right to be here. Here you
like
go.
I'm coming home, basically. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
which was weird because I also had the same feeling going back to the US. So it's weird to have two homes, but it's a fun experience and a fun thing to have as a part of your life. It comes with other challenges, but definitely a fun thing to have.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same situation. Like, I sometimes don't know which place to call home because both is basically home. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I say, I'm going back home in a couple days, in which case I will mean going back home to the US. But then when I'm in the US, I'm going to say, I'm going back home for Christmas.
Yeah.
So I'm always going home, which is nice. Yeah. Like it's a really nice feeling to have because you just, even the travel doesn't feel, at least to me, it doesn't feel, what's the right word?
Strenuous
to describe it?
Or?
It doesn't feel like stressful. Like when going on vacation, you have to think about all these things. Mm-hmm. I'm just going home. So I even pack like dirty laundry, because it doesn't even matter. I'm only going to be on the plane for what, like 16 hours in total, like with layover.
Exactly.
And then I can just do laundry at home.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. I had a similar experience. And like, I was talking to one of my roommates about this recently, how since there are only a couple main hubs that I really ever fly through, I know the airports too. Mm-hmm, so like even the travel itself feels familiar. Like, okay, I'm in the Amsterdam airport, or oh, I'm in Paris's airport. Yeah. It all feels familiar. So I don't know. It's like you said, it's just like a road trip home, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
In both directions.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I think most people definitely know when you travel somewhere that the way back home always feels a little bit more relaxing. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more like the stress has like is off your shoulders. You know that you're just going back home. You don't really have to plan anything ahead. And that's how it feels to me both ways.
I would say, I mean, for me, it is a little bit more stressful going back to Cincinnati just because that's the place that I'm visiting. It is it's still my home in a sense, but it's the place that I'm visiting. So I have like an agenda of people that I want to see in
that
regard,
sure.
But
yeah,
the travel is, the travel stress is not there.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the same for me. Like my schedule here is completely packed with people that I haven't seen, especially with COVID. Because like basically the last two times I was home, it was kind of difficult to see people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last time, I think in the summer, it wasn't because of COVID restrictions. It was mainly just because every German travels in August. So like it was hard to coordinate stuff with people. But last Christmas, there were contact restrictions, so I couldn't really see a lot of people. So that's definitely the same way. Like being home is kind of stressful, like leisure stress, like Freizeit stress, a bunch of like social things that you have to check off your list. But just getting on that plane feels like just going home.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can totally see that. And I was definitely going to ask, does Munich feel like home now a year later?
It does. I think in a certain... Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, the categories that I can talk about. I mean, as far as, like, knowing the city, I feel like I know the city relatively well. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as my daily life is concerned, I know Cincinnati better, but I also have spent significantly more time in Cincinnati than here. So I still need my GPS here more than I would in Cincinnati. But it definitely feels like home in the sense of I have my grocery store. I have my bedding, like all of like my apartment, it's all mine here. So I definitely have the sense that I've come home. I'm trying to think in what other aspects Munich really feels like home. There's a certain sense of things seeming familiar here. That I think is a Merkmal of it being my home, like an aspect or just something that shows the fact that it's my home. So yeah, I would definitely say as far as the way I feel, yes, Munich is is home.
Okay. I should have probably listened to the both, like, the other two episodes that we recorded on this topic. I did not go back and listen to both of those.
But so, even if you didn't and you asked the same questions, it'll be a different response because I've been here longer.
I was just thinking, like, maybe there would be some good follow-up questions that would make sense. Mm-hmm. But I have another question for you that I just came up with. And I think I asked you this in the last one, but I'm not positive. So I just want to know, how do you feel like you changed, or do you feel like you changed? And if so, in what ways? Maybe you feel like you changed culturally, any new habits or even opinions? Like, do you view certain things differently, different preferences when it comes to certain things? Like, for me, for example, I never really preferred driving over other stuff because I was always just used from Munich to. That driving was just such a stressful thing.
Yeah.
If you go somewhere and then you drink, then you can't really drive home and stuff like that. And now I'm like, I've gotten so used to driving everywhere, and I do kind of prefer driving over public transportation.
See, that's funny
now.
Because for me it's the exact opposite. I mean, I definitely prefer public transportation. Mm-hmm. That was one of the frustrating things about being back in Cincinnati, was having to drive everywhere, especially because where I grew up isn't really in Cincinnati itself. It's kind of outside
like
of Cincinnati. Yeah. So it takes a bit to get into the city to be able to do stuff that's interesting to me. But as far as how much I feel like I've changed as a person, I think throughout the process of a year, or throughout the course of a year, you don't really recognize how you've changed.
Yeah.
Especially when you're doing something that you're really interested in and that has been a dream of yours. So in hindsight, I've overcome a lot of challenges of, like, moving to a new country and all of, like, we've talked about the bureaucratic mess that comes with that. Yeah. And I feel like I've crossed a lot of those milestones without really realizing the effort that goes into that. So that's something I'm proud of from the last year, is having had the courage to take that step and put myself out there. But if that's really something that has changed, I think I'm a more confident person. And more sure of myself. I mean, I felt like I was relatively sure of myself in Cincinnati too, but through the experience of putting myself in a completely different environment, I feel like I'm more confident in the fact that I can do a lot more than I think I would trust myself with doing maybe a year ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any other aspects. Do you have any other topics where you think, like, or questions or areas where you think, I wonder if his perspective has changed?
Well, maybe not so much with perspective. Perspective was more kind of, you know, how I, for example, like regarding small talk or stuff like that or political stuff. But no, go ahead.
So there were two things that just came to mind. One thing, I was back in the U.S. and one of my grandpa's hobbies that he did with me, like, growing up, was to take me shooting to a shooting range, which I always enjoyed. And it's a really nice way for me to spend time with my grandpa. Yeah. I don't need to go shooting. But it's something that connects the two of us, and we do it in a safe way at a shooting range. It's not like anything crazy. But I did feel a little uncomfortable this time going shooting.
Interesting.
I don't know really why. I think maybe it had to do with the difference in the way that COVID is approached in the U.S. versus Germany, where I'm used to wearing a mask anytime I'm indoors anywhere, and I was the only one wearing a mask at the shooting range. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that kind of went into why I felt a little uncomfortable. But there was definitely, like, oh, wow. Like, I've never felt, like, uncomfortable at a shooting range like I do right now.
I feel like it might also be just the fact that just subconsciously you know that in Munich you don't have to worry about gunshots or someone carrying a gun on them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just subconsciously you weren't really used to the presence of guns as much.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But that was, like, a moment where I was like, oh, shoot. Like, this is different than it has been in the past.
Interesting.
So that was one example. And then the other, it just was a little bit of reverse culture shock when I got back from my Mexico trip to the U.S. But I mean, it just was being out of the U.S. And I was in the airport in Atlanta. I was at a bar having a drink waiting for my flight. And, like, random people were talking to me about American football, which I do not follow and I'm not particularly interested in.
And you never really followed that.
No, I never did. Yeah. But I was more used to, like, those type of conversations about sports at bars or those type of environments at parties. And I was really thrown off by it. Like, I was like, oh, shoot, I've really lost my ability to even bullshit, even though I don't know. Like, in the US, I could get by those conversations because you're constantly surrounded by it.
Yeah.
Like people talking about sports or, you know, oh, the Bengals played this game against these people. So you kind of just have a general knowledge so you know what's going on. But because I now live in Germany and have zero connection to American football, I was very overwhelmed by the conversation. I was like, I do not know how to respond to you. It was very awkward.
That's so funny because I feel like that is pretty much exactly how I felt when I first moved to the US. I mean, not just that I didn't really have the knowledge to get involved in some of these small talk topics, but also just that I was so like thrown off in the moment that I was like, wait, I'm supposed to respond something now.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have those topics like ready to go in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I was always so impressed with all these Americans that just came up with the most random things in those random situations.
Yeah.
And you're one of the best people with that usually.
Yeah, that's why I was a little scared because I used to be able to like throw off some comments normally.
Yeah.
And I was like speechless. It was a like I said, frightening. I felt like I was losing my superpower.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, it's funny because a lot of the things that you just said, I've had the same experiences, just the other way around.
Yeah.
So that's really, really interesting.
So I guess I'm becoming Germanized in that sense.
Yeah, I think so. And it's just, yeah, you're out of practice because you don't do it a lot here.
Yeah.
And even if you do it with people, Germans don't really want you to bring up these random small talk topics.
Yeah.
Germans want to talk about something serious, something real, something deep.
Something quote unquote meaningful. Not that sports aren't meaningful, but
yeah,
I don't know. It just was a very, very weird experience for me. Because I know these type of people, I know these type of environments, but because I haven't been surrounded by them for the last year, yeah, I felt really, really rusty. And it came back with time, not necessarily in the aspect of sports, but being able to talk to people, make small talk, becoming more comfortable with talking to strangers again. I mean, it came back relatively quickly within 2 days.
Yeah.
But that initial experience was like, whoa, okay, I'm back in the US. And I like none of the food was healthy at all that I had as an option. Or the bartender was like talking to people, like she was flirting with everyone and like super outgoing as opposed to the bartenders in Germany who will just say, what do you want?
Yeah.
And that's what you get. And that's it. And I don't have an issue with that. It's just two different approaches. But when you're not prepared, or even if you are prepared and you just experience it for the first time, how outgoing Americans can be, it can be very off, not off-putting, but, throws you off kilter.
Yeah. No, I can totally see that. No, another thing that I was thinking of was just like, have you picked up on any German habits?
It felt weird to throw all of my trash back in one trash can.
Do you guys like recycle all the different things in your WG?
As much as we can.
Yeah.
We try to. I mean, the thing about Munich is you don't have Gelbersack.
Yeah, you don't have the plastic, but you can technically bring the plastic trash away.
Exactly. So we have a container for it. We just haven't figured out, because none of us are from Munich. We don't know the best way to handle how do we get rid of this plastic, because all of us are like, we don't want to just throw this into the trash.
Yeah, you need to go bring it somewhere.
That's we just have to find the best place to take it that's closest. So yeah, it was weird to go from separating my glass and my paper and my plastics and my Biomüll, the biodegradables, to just throwing pretty much everything besides plastic and cardboard into one bin. I'm trying to think if there were some, or if there are some other German habits that I've picked up on.
Have you, I mean, it's been a year. Have you gotten used to sparkling water, for example?
Yeah, I do enjoy sparkling water.
Do you miss it now or do you prefer it over still water?
I feel like both have their uses.
Okay.
If I'm like doing sports or whatever, I want normal still water.
Yeah.
But at a restaurant, I enjoy having sparkling water.
Yeah.
And if it's not sparkling, it feels kind of like...
not fancy enough.
Yeah, not fancy enough. That's what I was going to say. I mean, like I could have this at home. I want
like,
sparkling water.
Doesn't feel like it's worth your money.
Exactly.
Interesting. What about like Apfelschorle or something like that?
See, I'm not... I like Apfelschorle, but I don't make them a lot.
Okay. So you didn't like start drinking that on a daily
not
basis.
Not really.
Okay. What about the way that you make your bed or something like
yes, that? Yes, that was one thing that was really different going back to my American bed in my parents' house, is it has all of these sheets that takes forever to make the bed, so I just don't make it. I just kind of throw it to make it look acceptable.
Yeah.
As opposed to my German bed where I just have my fitted sheet and then my duvet, and all you have to do is throw the sheet out and then you're good to go, or the duvet.
I think for the German listeners, we might have to explain real quick, because I don't know if we've talked about this in detail
before. We have when we did the house episode,
did
I think.
Did we? Okay, okay. So the duvet basically means like the...
Comforter is what we call it in American English.
What in two Germans is a regular Bettdecke. Mm-hmm. And then the duvet cover is der Bettbezug.
Yeah.
But in the US, a lot of people have either like the sheets, also Laken mit einer Decke drüber, what we also know from like more Southern European countries. Or people will have this comforter that doesn't have its the cover. It's just you wash the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
So basically,
you don't wash it very often.
Yeah, you don't wash
it a lot. Because
you
have the sheet that keeps you from really touching the comforter
itself.
Yeah,
but it's not one of those white ones. They usually have a color or already look nice without a duvet cover. So that's definitely a difference.
Yeah, I think it was also weird going back to an American pillow, because I have a square European pillow here.
You do. See, I never had that in Germany. Uh-huh. So to me, the pillows are the same in both countries.
Yeah, no, so I definitely adapted to the German pillows. I'm trying to think.
You prefer those now?
I think so.
Huh, interesting.
Because I like being able to punch them into a ball and then like hug it easily. Because I put my hands up by my head when I sleep.
That's funny.
So I have like a little mound.
Those of you who are listening on an audio platform right now, you should go to YouTube and watch what Josh just did.
It's exactly what I do. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I think so. But like I don't usually use those pillows. Only ever when I'm like at hotels or something like that, or friends' places.
Yeah. I think it was funny to get used to being able to turn right on red again.
Oh, yeah.
When I was back in the U.S. But as far as German habits, walking everywhere.
Yeah, I was going to ask about
and
that.
And also being around, it's not really a German habit that I've picked up on, but just something that I've noticed since I've gotten back is just being used to being around more people.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati is less populated than Munich as far as population density is concerned. So I realized how empty the suburbs can feel.
Oh, yeah. And how much space there is. And even if you go to the store, how much space people give each other there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Any other German habits, though?
I mean, you already wore house shoes before you came to
Germany. Exactly. So. I think there were a lot of things, just habits that I've picked up while I was still living in the U.S. for my travel here and visits.
Do you have a bike now?
I do have a bike here.
Okay, but you also had a bike in Cincinnati, though. You were one of the few people.
Yes, but I definitely use my bike here more than I did in Cincinnati.
Yeah. That would be a pretty German thing.
Oh yeah.
Do you have your like reflectors or something for like biking at night?
I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't.
So you haven't become that German yet.
No.
But to be fair, I don't have those either.
What are some other German habits?
That's honestly really all I can think of too. Any opinions or anything like that changed?
I don't think so. I don't think significantly. I think I already had a relatively German mentality before moving here. I mean, I think before having learned German and having more contact with German culture in the U.S., I can notice a difference between my opinions before having contact with Germans and the German culture and German language and pre, like the that how
and,
learning
and
German
after,
made, yeah, after.
Yeah.
How that made a difference.
Yeah.
But since living here, not necessarily.
Yeah, okay. No, that I could see that because you, as you said, you've already been pretty German before that. All my questions are a little bit similar, to be fair.
That's fine.
But what are things that now, after living in Germany for about a year, you would like to change about Germany or about Munich in particular?
That's hard.
Is there anything? Or about Germans? Or about, you know, the German culture?
I think Germans could be a little friendlier with people that they don't know.
Okay, that's like kind of what I always say.
I know it's very cliche, but I mean, you get used to it, but it is something that I wish were slightly different.
Yeah.
That people would joke around with strangers a little more and help strangers out a little bit more and be more focused on kind of like everyone's trying to get through life together. So let's be nice to each other and help each other out. Not that people are necessarily mean to you, but there's like a lack of going the extra mile for strangers that I wish were a little different. I wish the food was a little more tasty and flavorful. You can find good food here.
Interesting.
But as
I
far
feel
as
the
like,
exact opposite.
I'm not saying that American food is necessarily better. I'm just saying I feel like German food can be generally bland.
Mm-hmm.
Especially,
it's not super spicy or anything
like
that.
Add a little spice, add a little flavor. Like I said, I mean, there are very good restaurants here in Munich that I enjoy. But I feel like a lot of it, especially traditional German food, can be relatively bland. What else do I wish that I could change about Germany? That's a hard question. Because I mean, there are a lot of things that I like about being here. So
yeah, I mean, if you could like bring a few things here from home, basically, mm-hmm. what would you bring? Except for your family.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't count. What?
There's a reason I moved here. No, I mean, the U.S. is nice, but I really enjoy being here. I mean, having the old world architecture, being able to walk everywhere. I like all of that.
Okay.
I think it's just somewhat the mentality that I wish sometimes were a little bit friendlier.
Yeah.
Customer service being nicer, being able to pay for a card or with the card everywhere. Yeah. Which it's gotten better.
It has. Where was the other day? Oh, yeah. Today I was at the Olympic Park. There was like one of those food trucks where it was cash only. And then there was like only a couple of restaurants left where it's cash only or something like that. But it's definitely gotten better. But I also had to get used to, again, that the first thing that I did here was go to an ATM.
Exactly.
Because you never know if you're in a situation where you can't use your card.
You just have to have cash on hand just to be safe.
Just in case, yeah.
So I wish that were slightly different. I'm sure there are a couple other points that would come to mind, but
that's okay.
I don't really think so.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I'm like I said, I mean there's a reason that I want to stay here for the next couple of years is because I really enjoy it here. So
yeah, no, that's good. I mean, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Was there anything that you were worried about in the beginning, or that you were excited for in the beginning, and that turned out to be the other way around? So something that like surprised you either in a positive or a negative way.
I don't know if it's exactly the answer that you're looking for, but what comes to mind is the fact that I've made more friends with non-Germans than I have Germans.
Yeah, I didn't expect that either from you.
And that's one of the things that I would like to change in the coming year is find a way to become friends with more Germans. Mm-hmm. I think it's easy when you're in a new environment to find people who are also new in that environment and you can connect with each other a lot. And I mean, I'm not regretful of that fact. It's just something that has surprised me.
Yeah.
Is that the majority of my friends are not non-Germans. So in the coming year, I would like to maybe join a club, like a tennis club or something, and that way make a couple more friendships with Germans. So that surprised me. I wouldn't have, if you'd asked me when I moved here, would you become friends with more Germans or non-Germans? I'd said I would 100% become more friends with Germans.
Yeah, that's what I would have expected too.
But like I said, you never really know what the future holds. And I mean, they're some of the best friendships I've had. So
yeah, that's awesome.
I'm very, very grateful for them. But it's weird to be in Germany and have mostly foreign friends.
Yeah. But it's also nice because you get to speak English also. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like you're losing all your American identity.
Yeah.
You can kind of combine the two worlds a little bit. And I mean, you still use German in your everyday life and stuff. And you have some German friends.
Exactly.
Sure.
I definitely have I have a couple German friends, quite a few. But it's also weird. Like when we hang out with people, I want to bring my other friends too. Mm-hmm. And they all know each other and get along. But then the default language is English. Mm-hmm. So I wish I could speak a little bit more German while I'm here. Mm-hmm. Not really just to practice per se, but I mean, I'm in Germany. I would like to be speaking some German besides just when I go to the grocery store or I'm talking to a server.
Yeah.
But at work, that's different, obviously, because I work in a German environment. So, but that's one thing that I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. If there's another thing that I didn't expect, I don't think I expected to have such a central location of where I'm living.
Yeah.
I think Yeah. I think my living situation has been much better than I expected it would have been. With both of the VGs I've been in, I've gotten along with my roommates very well.
Yeah. You didn't really have that much trouble finding a new spot.
No, that surprised me as well, as everyone talks about how hard it is to find a room or a place to stay in Munich, and that has not been my experience. Mm-hmm. But I think I know I'm extremely lucky in that regard. Some other things that I didn't expect. One thing I didn't expect is to not want a car.
Okay.
Now I have a car, and I'm changing jobs from a job where I needed the car to be able to get to the office, and now my new office is very close to where I live, so I don't need a car.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I would have ever expected to not want a car.
Yeah.
Just being an American, being so used to driving everywhere, and just the freedom that comes with having a car. That's one thing that I don't think I would have expected is me to ever consider selling my car and living without a car.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same experience that I've had, just the other way around.
Yeah.
How, like, to me, a car, especially living more, like, central in Munich, a car always kind of meant being like tied down and stressed because mm-hmm. you have to find a parking spot or you have to pay for parking.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so much work, and then you have to maintain it and you hardly ever use it. Yes, and then if you exactly. take it somewhere, then it's probably going to take you longer than taking public transportation. Mm-hmm. You're going to be stuck in traffic, all yes. this stuff. And now living in Cincinnati, I have the same attitude that you used to have, mm-hmm. that I enjoy having a car and it gives me freedom and it's so flexible. But that's just because in the Midwest, or at least in the Cincinnati area, it is pretty flexible and it's pretty easy.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I still want to keep my car just for the added benefit of being able to like go to a lake easily or that's into the mountains. Like, but on the other hand, there are other ways that you can do that. You can rent a car for a day, like with Share Now service, or
so
like different
many
apps.
Do and that now,
it's completely feasible to live here without a car and still have the freedom that comes with having a car.
Yeah, probably a lot of Americans aren't aware of this, but there is a lot of car sharing services mm-hmm. that are pretty big here in Germany.
Yes,
Drive Now is the one by BMW, right?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah, I don't usually use them because when I'm here, if I need a car, I have my parents' cars.
Yeah.
But I know that a lot of young people who basically live like you, they live mm-hmm. like in a VG or just like an apartment somewhere downtown. They don't really need a car in their daily lives. But then if they want to go skiing or go on a little day trip, then they just rent a car. And apparently it's super easy and super flexible. So,
yeah, for sure. Another thing that I think I expected to happen more was travel.
Okay.
And I think it might have to do with COVID. Yeah. The fact that I haven't traveled as much as I hope mm-hmm. or hoped I would have. But I mean, I'm still here and I don't have plans on moving back to the US anytime soon. So like looking into the next year, if it's feasible with COVID, then I definitely want to do some more European travel.
Yeah.
I have a trip planned to Paris. My parents are going to come visit me for my birthday. So we're going to do an Italy trip. So like, that's one of my resolutions for the new year is to travel more, but I definitely, expected to travel more in my first year here.
I also feel like sometimes people, when they're only here for like 3 months or something, mm-hmm. they try to make the best out of their time here and then they travel more. But since you knew that you were going to be here long term, you maybe didn't really put the pressure on
yourself.
There
wasn't the drive to get out there and see everything.
Yeah.
And I'm a person that I can travel by myself, but I would prefer to travel with people.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of finding the right timing to go with the right people and make the trip the best possible.
Yeah.
But I definitely know I'll do
planning.
Exactly. And I definitely know that I'll be doing more of that in the coming year, barring any crazy new variants or anything that would make that not possible.
Let's hope for the best.
Yes. Knock on wood. But yeah, I would say those are the main things as far as differences between my expectations and what has become reality.
Okay.
But kind of just talking also about the fact that I haven't traveled as much as I would have hoped or expected. On the other hand, I have deeper relationships here in Munich than I would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've invested more of my time in building a community, which I think for me is more important than the travel at this point.
Yeah.
And now I have a community that I can travel with. So.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect situation. I don't actually have that many questions left. Things that you'd like to change, talked about that, mm-hmm. not that much. Things that you view differently about the U.S. now. Is there anything that you would like to bring up with that, or
I mean,
has your view on? But you already mentioned recycling, for example.
Yeah, I was going to say recycling, friendliness. Can you repeat the question one more time? Things about the U.S. that I would change?
Yeah, are there things about the U.S. that you view differently
That's
now?
It, that I view differently now? I would say yes. Well, not necessarily differently, but I just think more profoundly or deeply, in the sense of like me. As far as like gun control is concerned, I think I've been a little shocked by some of the events that have happened in the U.S. Mm-hmm. while I've been here. But that's just my personal opinion.
Right.
That I wish that there were a bit that type of stuff wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And being here where in Europe where that doesn't happen, or when it does, it's extremely rare compared to the U.S. I just wish that the U.S. wouldn't be in a position where that would happen.
Yeah.
And that there would be a bit more. Oh, that's something I was going to say too. The political system.
Mm-hmm.
I see in Germany, I mean, of course you have differing opinions here in Germany, but it seems like the government can normally figure out a compromise to help move in a certain direction or in the direction of the majority. Whereas in the U.S., I feel like there's so much more gridlock that prevents the government from working for the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that I wish were a little different in the U.S. just to see the government be a little bit more effective and efficient.
I mean, it's not always like that in Germany. There's been so many situations where it's like they try to have a whole like PKW maut.
Yes.
And they prepare the whole thing. So like a toll for the Autobahn. Yeah. And then it's like a thing for months or even years. I don't even remember how long it was going on for. And then in the end, it's like, oh, never mind. We're not doing that now after all.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, there's no perfect political system and I'm not a political scientist, but just from my perspective or from the way that I view things, it seems like, or what I've experienced, it seems like the German government is set up a little bit more to make compromises than you have in the US.
Yeah, they have to. Yeah. And they're a little bit better at it for sure.
I wish that also, and I feel bad talking about politics, but I feel like that's a big difference between the US and Germany, is kind of a little bit more level-headedness in the politics, less personality and more like substance.
Policies, yeah.
Yeah, substance and policies. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I wish were a little different in the US, that it would be less about
the people.
Yes, less about the people and more about the programs and the policy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think if there are any non-political things that I wish were slightly different in the US. I think we've talked about this in the past, but vegetarian options and just being more conscious about the environment. Generally, I think would be nice in the US.
Yeah, which again, because I know that people always comment and like people also DM me about it who live in LA and they're like,
oh, yes.
Wait, like in LA, it's like so much easier than in Germany. It's like, yeah, I'm sure it is. California in general, probably the East Coast as well.
Yeah.
But the Midwest and probably the majority of the US is very different in that regard still.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't even just asking about things that you dislike about the US now, just like things that you view differently, even in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
But you already said the friendliness, the openness, you're just more aware of that, which I can relate to.
Mm-hmm. I think, just generally the ease with which you can make new connections or new friends in the US is something that I think Americans should value more, that's not necessarily the case all over the world.
Yeah.
I just think of like just my parents' neighborhood and how friendly people are with each other. You can find that in Germany, obviously, but that's definitely something in the US that I think is more the norm than the exception.
Yeah.
I think one thing that I really appreciate, and I'm not trying to diss Germany in this, but like the musical talent that comes out of the US.
I mean, that's why we like, that's the one aspect that we still look up to, look up to the US for. That was a complicated sentence.
Yeah.
But like the US has kind of like the reputation of the US has kind of suffered in the last few years, except for things like that.
Yeah.
Music, actors, movies, everything like artsy, sports also. I mean, Germans definitely look up to Americans for that.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing like, if I were to say I'm proud to be an American, like that's one aspect that I'm proud of is like we're the US is a powerhouse when it comes to pop culture and media and the arts. And that's one thing that I really like about the US. And like I said, you have that in Germany too, but it's just on a different scale and a different level.
Yeah, exactly. Like even the super talented people will have to go to the US at some point to progress even more in their talents.
It was funny. We were at me and some friends were at a karaoke bar and some people were up on stage singing and like they were so good.
Wait, in the US?
No,
here in
Munich. Was
it one of those Irish pubs?
Yeah, it was at Kennedy's. is the name of the pub. And they were on stage and like everyone got so silent and everyone was singing. They were silent and then they were so enamored and everyone started singing along.
Yeah.
And I looked at my friend Letty and I was like, they're definitely American.
Yeah.
And then turns out, They were American. And I mean, of course, that's a little bit arrogant to say I recognize that. But like, I don't know. I looked at them. I was like, they just had the vibe of American. Yes. And we've talked about that too, is you can kind of, it's not obviously 100%, but oftentimes you can tell like people from different countries or from your home country, you can recognize people relatively easily. And I just got that vibe and I was like, they're American.
Yeah.
And I was right. So I was happy.
Yeah. The whole musical talent thing, I think is on the one hand, of course, it's talent. On the other hand, it's a little bit what I think I've mentioned before regarding the school system, that those things are just not really featured in the German school system. Like there really are not a lot of good music teachers. There aren't really a lot of good like extracurriculars regarding music, like musicals or bands. I mean, my school had a couple, but some of those were like I kind of feel bad saying that about my own country, but a lot of like choirs in Germany are pretty uncool.
Yeah.
Like everyone will stand there on stage with their notebook right in front of them.
Yeah.
Not even like looking into the audience. Nobody moves. Like they just stand there super stiff and then they sing kind of quietly and shy. That's like a typical musical experience, I feel like, at especially at schools, but also other institutions. And it's kind of rare to find a good choir or a good musical at a school or at like what would be like. I mean, some people also just do it in their free time after work or something like that. And that's definitely something that the U.S. is extremely good at.
It reminds me of another thing about the U.S. that I'm appreciative of with when it comes to like having grown up in the U.S. and in the U.S. system, that it brings out certain characteristics of your personality that I think may have been formed differently had I grown up in the U.S. And one is like confidence of going up in front of a group of people and speaking or speaking to strangers. I think in general, Americans are more comfortable with that.
Yes, 100%, I agree.
So that's one thing that I admire about the U.S. and I'm thankful for, of having grown up in the U.S. and being having been put in environments where I've kind of been forced to stand in front of people and speak or hold presentations and be comfortable in that environment or in those situations.
Yeah. The thing with that is that it's not like German schools don't teach you that.
No.
They just don't. You have to do it, but they don't teach it to you in a good way. Like, I don't know if that made sense. Basically, you go through the school system having to give presentations all the time, but most Germans just suck at it, and so do the teachers. And so we don't really have people to learn it from. Like, I am decent at presenting, and I was always, like, way better than anyone else in my class. And I'm not even that good at it. I'm just, like, for American standards, pretty standard, pretty, like, an average presenter. And they just don't teach you that really well. And I feel
I don't know. I haven't been to a German school. I've never sat through, like, a German lecture or anything like that. So I can't really speak. And it's not that people teach you necessarily how to do it. Well, that's that's actually not necessarily true, because in high school we had a public speaking class that you could have taken.
We had actually a seminar on that too in my German class, but I don't think every German class had that. It was like a weekend seminar where we traveled somewhere even. And I think that probably helped a lot of people, but I think it's more just like everyone in Germany sucks at it. And so you pick up on it, like even on TV, people that give interviews sometimes, people that are like publicity
presenter?
Person,
like
the head of
PR.
Marketing or PR. Yeah, the PR people that give interviews for certain companies, even they suck at it in a lot of cases in Germany. And then where are you supposed to learn it from as a kid growing up in Germany if those are the role models that you see?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's
I think there's sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
I think there's also an important part to mention of cultural expectations of what a public speaker looks like.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe the German expectation is slightly different and the Americans can be a little over the top when it comes to public speaking.
Yeah.
So not to say that the German system is bad, it's just different.
Yeah.
But that's one thing about the U.S. that I really like, is that I feel like I've been prepared really well to be able to speak in front of people and talk to strangers. And yeah, I mean, that also might just be a part of my personality. Obviously, not all Americans are good at that. I know quite a few that are very shy and don't like public speaking or like that's their biggest fear. So it's a generalization, but that's one aspect of American culture that I really like.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
What was your best thing that happened throughout your year in Munich and maybe your worst thing, or like a positive and a negative thing or something like that? Do you want to do that?
Yeah, I would say I'll start with the worst experience.
Okay.
I think the worst experience was definitely with with my driver's license. That was infuriating.
We did tell that story in one of those episodes, or in maybe some of the other episodes. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, but I had quite a horrifying experience with one of the German officials at the German DMV, so for getting my driver's license. So that was definitely a low light, and I was like, I can't stand this country, these people are awful, blah blah blah. That just wasn't in a moment, but yeah, I was very, very upset by that.
Yeah.
And then my best thing was probably about finding my living situation. I mean, the people that you surround yourself with are so important to your everyday life that I think had I not found such a good group of people and such a great VG, that my experiences here would be completely different. Mm-hmm. And not just my current one, but also my previous one, because I spend a lot of time with both of them and they've all become friends with each other mm-hmm. too, which is really fun to see.
That's cool.
So I would say that's the highlight of this past year in Munich.
Awesome.
But now I'm interested from you, what has been the highlight and the low light of your previous year?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
It would be interesting maybe if we did, you've lived in the US for how many years now? Five?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to say. Like, I think three permanently.
So maybe we could do an episode at some point too of, yeah, failing in the US. I think that would be interesting for the viewers, but yeah. Maybe kind of the same question to you, low light and highlight.
Oh gosh, I hadn't really thought about that. I think my overall low light, and I'm not trying to sound whiny, I promise, but it's like I really worked way too much this mm-hmm. year and I didn't have time for the things that were actually important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And my channel is important to me, but it was just a bunch of different factors that played a role in that. Like, you know, planned a little bit too much, got a little bit too many offers for collaborations mm-hmm. that, you know, a bunch of stuff that sounds cool and you want to do it. And then you just like take on a little bit too much, and then unexpected things like that trademark issue that mm-hmm. I had, and then I moved and stuff like that. That was great, but that was also a bunch of unexpected work that came my way. Mm-hmm. So I think that was just my overall regret, I guess, of the year is mm-hmm. that I didn't have a lot of time for the things that were actually important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely want to change that next year. What was my highlight? I feel like I had a lot of highlights, though, because at the same time, I got to experience a bunch of stuff. All my travels, which, like, I didn't travel as much as I have in other years. Mm-hmm. As much as I have in other... Was that English? Okay. My English is kind of rusty right now. I've been in Germany for 2 weeks. But I did go to the West Coast this year, which, like, I'd been there before, mm-hmm. but that was... And it feels like that was forever ago, but that was also...
When did you go to the West Coast?
In March with Niklas and
I completely forgot that. I completely forgot that.
Yeah. Well, we went to Vegas and then we went to California.
That's right. Okay. Now it's mm-hmm. coming back to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we didn't go everywhere on the West Coast, but we went to LA and we went to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Germany twice, and those were like very intense trips. Also, mm-hmm. I was super lucky with the weather in Germany, but I think the move, like my house.
Yeah.
That's traveling, big. Trying to think. Yeah, I went to Gatlinburg again this year also. Like, I had a few nice little, trips with friends.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a music festival. So I think those things, the travels and the house.
Yeah, no, those are great. I mean,
yeah.
Given the stressful year that you've had, it's good that you still have some highlights, because I know it hasn't been the easiest year for you. So.
Yeah, it's hard when... You feel like it's also your own fault because you're self-employed. Mm-hmm. So you can't even blame a boss of making you work so much. It's basically yourself who made you work that much, but you didn't even mean to. And then you're kind of stuck with it. But you also have your own expectations towards yourself mm-hmm. and your own standards of the quality of the certain things. And that kind of made it even harder, because basically the only person to blame was myself.
Yeah, that's a really interesting dilemma that I haven't really thought of, because I'm not really self-employed. Yeah. So
I sometimes wish I could just blame someone and be like, oh, fuck him. Like, I just want to enjoy my weekend now.
Yeah.
But you can't really do that, because then also if you don't do the work, then nobody else will. And
mm-hmm.
That was just a thing that I dealt with this year that was just much bigger than it was the year before, mm-hmm. which... I don't even know how that happened, as I said, but I'm going to try and change that in 2022.
Well, fingers crossed and thumbs pressed that it works out for you in that regard for the coming year.
Yeah. So
thank you guys for listening to this episode. It's been fun for me to reflect on the last year here in Munich.
Yeah.
Wow. Just crazy.
Right?
To even crazy. It does not feel like a year, but...
No. It feels like it was just yesterday that we sat here and we were like, Josh, you just moved to Munich.
And now Munich feels like home. So it's been a fun conversation to reflect. If you guys want to stay in contact with us, there are a few different ways that you can do that. One of which is follow us on Instagram. It's just Understanding Train Station on Instagram. Additionally, you can send us an email at understandingtrainstation@gmail.com. Additionally, if you guys want to support us, financially, or just have more close contact with us, we have a monthly hangout that we do on Patreon for our patrons on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/understandingtrainstation. And if that's too much of a commitment, but you still want to buy us a beer or Glühwein or even just a coffee, you can do that at buymeacoffee.com/UTS podcast.
Same with Josh.
Thank you. It's been a while since I've done it. So
I know. Well, yeah, thank you guys for listening. I do think that if you're listening on Spotify right now, that you can now also give us a review or at least a rating. I'm not quite sure because I don't think I have the feature yet on Spotify, which that was something that you were able to do on Apple Podcasts before, give us like a rating. Mm-hmm. But I think you can now also do that on Spotify. So if you can do that, check on your phone right now. Go ahead and give us a 5-star rating, hopefully, or a 4-star.
We're not afraid to ask for what we want.
That will be awesome. And of course, subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening. And you will hear us again in 2 weeks on Thursday.
Until then.
Cheers.
See you.